sort of got that right the first time. Can anyone tell me the relevance of those two numbers? I'm not expecting anyone to be able to, but yeah. Okay, so we want to talk about trial tonight. And these numbers are, in fact, come from the book of Numbers, chapter 1. And out of all those numbered there, out of those 603,550 that were numbered there, only two entered the promised land. So why do we want to talk about the wilderness tonight? Well, there's many examples in the Bible of those who found God in the wilderness. We have examples of Elijah, David. God talks in Hosea about how he would eventually change Israel's heart in the wilderness. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, we want to look at trial in the wilderness after the Exodus and how that could change people's lives for better or for worse. We see how God tries to turn the hearts of his people Israel to him. Yet many didn't respond to what he was trying to do with them. We can see from the statistic we have there. And the same story is repeated throughout Israel's history. Only a small number ever responded to God working in their lives. And it's near impossible for us in our lives in this country to live as simple a life as they did in the wilderness, living only on manna and an intent. But the fact is we must see our lives as a journey through a wilderness where God is the only provider of our needs and not necessarily everything we want. Because we're not in a physical wilderness with manna to eat every day, doesn't mean that we are not still absolutely 100% dependent on God. It's just often harder to realize it. You see, we can start our walk in the truth completely focused on the promised land, as they did when they left Egypt. They wanted to follow Moses out of that country and leave what they had behind. At least they thought they did. And although in our lives we say or show our desire to be separate from Egypt, and we show or say that we want to leave this world behind and to trust in God's power, but we need to prove to ourselves beyond all doubt that it's what we truly want. The fact is, we only know what we really are when we're confronted with situations that are beyond our control. Things in our life that are either unwanted or unexpected. And what we need to think is, are we always confident that God will provide a way out of every circumstance, even if it's not exactly what we might have in mind, not exactly to what we have planned in our lives? Are we confident in that God will provide? Or do we have our own safeguards in place, whether it's our bank account balance, our qualifications, our insurance policies that we might have to fall back on in life? And really, are those things helping us to forget who is the true provider of all our needs? There was at least two in the wilderness that realized this, and that was Joshua and Caleb. There was at least 603,550 that didn't. Sorry, 548 that didn't. Joshua and Caleb realized that there was many things out of their control in their wilderness journey. But one thing was always in their control, and that was their attitude. See, the outcome of our life and the outcome of their life is determined by our attitude. This is a quote by Charles Swindoll, and it goes like this. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And on our journey in the wilderness, it's make or break. See, Joshua and Caleb saw trial in the wilderness as an opportunity to show their faith and their trust in God. They could see the big picture that God had in mind for those that love him. And when they spied out the land, they truly believed with God's help they could easily overcome the enemy. But the fact is, despite being in the same situation, there were so many who didn't believe God could overcome. And what was the difference between them? It was their attitude and how they reacted to God working in their lives. I'll read from 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. What's the recurring theme we have here? They all went through the same circumstances, yet for some it brought the best out in them, Joshua and Caleb, and for others, the next verse says, many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. God was unhappy with them because of their attitude to him and because of their unbelief in his ability to save them and bring them into the promised land. Now, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That's the lesson for us from the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel. And we need to ask ourselves, are we going to have the unwavering faith despite trial in our life like Joshua and Caleb did and clearly see what God has planned for us? Or are we going to be overcome by ungratefulness, like the vast majority of Israel after the Exodus? Remember, it's our choice and our attitude determines our outcome. And that's something that we always, always have in our control.